Our scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 6 to 16. We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God had destined for our glory before the time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thought of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by the human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Louisa. Well, good morning. My name's Josh, the pastor here. It's a joy to gather with you. It's a joy to kick off 21 days of prayer here as we start this new year together. I'm excited about it. Let's begin with a story. In March of last year, I went to Colombia on a mission trip. It was kind of a dream, long time coming. Of finally being able to return. I had done a lot of mission work in high school and college and right after college, but felt like if I was going to do mission work, it would be to train pastors. And I figured I should be a pastor and learn a couple things. So March was kind of like, oh, I finally got to go to Colombia, train some pastors in this pastor school. It was kind of a dream come true. But as the trip drew near, I began to experience a visceral fear, like I hadn't really felt before, specifically around the thought of something happening to me while I was gone that would leave Camille a widow and my kids fatherless. And I've historically been like a pretty fearless person and just kind of like gone for it. And so this was like a new experience to me to be kind of so, feel so hung up, kind of like almost sick to my stomach, and kind of went forward. I mean, like the night before, I was like kind of panicking, but just went through it. It had an amazing trip, was reunited with my family, and as I was processing that fear coming back with a friend, kind of processing this fear that kind of tapped into some bigger resentments I had towards God. I don't know if you're allowed to admit that in church, but just some places of unbelief, some doubt in his goodness that I had. I was processing this with a friend who suggested we do some listening prayer. Why don't we stop, he said, and just see what God wants to say to your fear and what you're feeling. And so we stopped. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, invited God to speak. And what he brought to mind was this prayer that I pray over my kids pretty much every night. Dear God, thank you for my Johnny, my Ruby, and my Isla. Thank you that I get to be their dad. That was the line that he brought to mind. And when he brought that to mind, I just started weeping. Because I felt like in him bringing that to mind, he was pointing my attention to the truth that I believe theologically, which is that the extravagance of being a father, the gift of my children, is exactly that, a grace, a gift, that I am a father by grace alone. And I continue to be a father. My fatherhood is sustained by God's grace. It was a prayer that I prayed 1,000 times, and it just melted my heart with the extravagance of this gift of being a dad. It was like he was asking me, "You pray this every night, do you really believe it?" And I think even more deeper, he was like, "Do you have the strength to just receive the gift as a gift and not try to own it or control it or protect it on your own strength, but just to continue to be a father dependent on my grace?" And that visceral fear and that kind of simmering resentment melted away. The Spirit brought home to me the reality of how good God has been to me, even in the, and invited me to trust him, trust that goodness even in the face of risk, like going to Colombia and leaving my family. It was God speaking these theological truths that I knew conceptually in my head, but bringing them down into the details of my life, specifically me as a dad of young kids leaving the country. Today, as we begin our 21 days of listening prayer, I'm so excited and a little bit nervous to bring us into this season of waiting to see how God might speak to us. And the main idea behind listening prayer is what I just said, what's up on the screen, is that listening prayer is feeling seen and loved by God in the details of our lives. It takes some of the objective realities of Scripture, the theological truths that we say we believe, and then brings them down into the nitty-gritty. So much of our pain, our fears, our struggles in life aren't because we don't know the right verses or have a theological explanation for something. So much of our pain and fear and struggles in life are because we feel alone in them. So there's a gap between our experience and what we know to be true. It feels like we're stuck with some facts that just don't seem to really move the needle of our hearts that much. And so my prayer, my excitement around 21 days of listening prayer is that all of us here would have a moment like I had back in March, where we feel God's presence speaking to us in the nitty-gritty of our lives. But I'm also extremely nervous, slash maybe even a little bit second-guessing it, preparing for this Sunday, because here's the thing about listening prayer. It's like, it's up to God. If we did 21 days of intercessory prayer, which maybe we'll do someday, it would be a great thing. That's something we show up, we do, we get after it, we intercede, and then we go home and watch the game. It's done. We did it. But listening prayer is vulnerable. I feel vulnerable. Because listening prayer, you create space to listen to God, and then it's like, is he there or is he not? Do we hear him or do we not? Do we like what he says or not? So, listening prayer is what we're going to dive into. We're going to pray that God shows up, pray we're going to give him space to do what only he can do. And I think as we get into it, we'll see that listening prayer really brings us into the heart that God wants in us, a heart that's slowed down, the heart that's trusting. You know, the Psalms say that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Listening prayer puts us in that space to be attentive like a sheep following a shepherd. And this year in particular, as we Ryan mentioned in the announcement, we are doing the work of relaunching our church with a new mission, vision, and name. My prayer is that we'd all experience God's word to us, an interaction with him in the nitty-gritty of our lives that would root us and ground us in his love, that would, as 1 John 4 says, cast out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. There's a lot of things that we could be afraid about individually, in our society, and as a church. But my prayer is that God would speak to those fears and those sorrows. I tell the story about Colombia. I could tell other stories because it's one of the times I felt most seen and loved by God in the details of my life, and that's what I hope for you. So We're going to unpack a few kind of framing ideas around listening prayer here and then get into some nitty-gritty here, testimony about listening prayer, and then we're going to do some listening prayer today. So prepare your heart and mind for that. I'm excited about it. If prayer is the conversation with God that comes from an intimate relationship, then it would naturally follow that it would be a conversation that goes two ways. Because one aspect of prayer, we talked about this last year, is that one of the first steps of prayer we see in the Psalms is praying what you got. Whatever you have, just pour it out to God. We don't have to be neat and tidy and even theologically correct. We can just pray to God. But if we stop there, that'd just be me monologuing, venting out to God. So naturally, if prayer is an intimate relationship, we'd feel free to pray what we got, pour out our hearts to God, and then we would listen to see what God says to that. If God didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all, Jesus died so that all my sin could be forgiven and I could be dressed in his righteousness, then is the most logical thing that he would then speak to me about the emotions, the fears, the details, the decisions, the circumstances of my life. I don't know if this is true, but you know, in some church circles, there might be baggage, people that maybe like overuse the concept of listening prayer or try to use it to hurt people or whatever. And if that happened to you, I'm sorry. But wherever you are in relationship to listening prayer, my prayer is that you just be curious with me about it. If you're just like, I'm not into this, I haven't done it, I don't want to do it, like that's okay, you don't have to. But I just hope you could be curious, because I think it is one of the most underrated, under-practiced gifts of being a Christian. Something that Scripture tells us we can and should and expect to do, hear from God. And it's one of the best ways to experience God's love, open ourselves up to God's love. So a couple framing ideas around listening prayer. The first one is that anything that anyone hears from God will not contradict Scripture. If it is from God, it will be in line with the Bible. It's his authoritative Scripture. Do I need to unpack that anymore? I don't think we're going to argue about this. It's like this is a framing reality. We're not like trying to get new revelation that's going to change this. Like God's never going to probably tell you that you should divorce your spouse or that you should, you know, I don't know, go start doing drugs or, you know, whatever. Those are ridiculous examples. But we have God's Scripture. We have this word that is guardrails, that is boundaries, that frankly informs. Listening to God so often comes in the form of Scripture, of verses, applied stories, images from God's word that speak to us and ultimately point us to Jesus. If we're going to listen to God, you think about like hearing your spouse call your name. It's like, well, yeah, I know what Camille's voice looks like because I've listened to her a lot. Jesus kind of riffs on this idea in John chapter 10. If we hear God's voice in listening prayer subjectively to us, to our lives, it's going to sound like him. In John 10, he says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for the true shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Jesus is a person with a personality, with characteristics. And so when we listen to the Spirit of Jesus, we're going to recognize his voice. Here's an example. There's a time in my life where there was someone I was working with that was just a thorn in my side, to not go into all the details. It was just like kind of a constant pain point. I was trying to grapple, is it me, is it him, what do I need to do to work with this? It was just a constant pain. And I was grappling with it, I was frustrated, I was angry. And so I did some listening prayer. In this particular way, I imagined Jesus sitting in the room with me in a chair like across the room. And I asked him, Jesus, what do you have to say to me about this guy, about the situation? Full of angst, I was just desperate. Talk to me, I need something. And Jesus, in my mind, as I imagine this, got this big, joyful grin on his face, and he chuckled, and he said, man, I love that guy. I know it's hard right now, and I know what's happening, frankly, isn't right, but he is not an obstacle to you and to what I want to do in your life. That sounds like something Jesus would say. a joyful, loving, forgiving, sovereign king. I mean, was that just my thoughts? Was it the tacos I ate before the night, that just imagining that? Like, no, that was nowhere near my heart. I wanted Jesus to be angry, to like call down fire and, you know, avenge me and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. But again, I felt seen and loved in the details of my life, that Jesus saw me, that I saw his love towards this guy that I could kind of imbibe and embrace. And even now, years later, I see how this guy in particular, and even his brokenness that was a problem in that time, shaped me, helped me grow, and even directed the course of my life to where I am today. So listening prayer will never contradict Scripture, kind of the heart of Christ towards us. Framing idea number two is listening prayer is part of apprenticeship to Jesus. We spent all fall talking about this idea of setting up our lives to apprenticeship to Jesus, like an electrician apprentice would go to work every day, spend time, organize life, what we read, think, talk, and do about becoming like Jesus. And so look Jesus, some parting words that Jesus gave his apprentices in John 16. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. This is huge. Just think with me. Jesus and these 12 disciples just spent 3 years together. So these disciples, they heard all of his teaching, even stuff where they didn't make the Bible. They had many, many conversations just on the road, around the fire, before bed, in the morning, over coffee. They saw him do miracles all this time, 3 years, in-person life with Jesus. And he's like, there's still more. And you can't bear it now. So instead, I'm going to go back to my Father and send you the Spirit who will guide you into all truth. And the same is true for us. If we're going to be apprentices to Jesus, then we should probably take Jesus at his word and listen carefully to this helper, to the Holy Spirit, this gift that he sent to lead us into all truth. According to Jesus, it's better. I still grapple with this. It's better that he go back to the Father and send the Holy Spirit than if he were to stay here on the earth. Not my opinion, that's Jesus' opinion. Like, for most of us, we say, like, hey, would you pick the Holy Spirit or like an hour in a room with Jesus in the flesh? We'd pick an hour in the room with Jesus in the flesh. But according to Jesus, like, no, now you have my Spirit dwelling in your body. If we're going to follow Jesus, we, one, need to trust that he said, hey, the Spirit's coming. Listen to him. He's going to tell you things that I haven't shared with you. He's going to lead you into all truth. And that we miss out on guidance, on encouragement. Whereas, as he says in Acts 1, power from on high when we neglect the Holy Spirit. Which brings the third framing idea. Listening prayer is part of walking in step with the Spirit. When Paul talks about walking in step with the Spirit and seeing fruit well up in your life, part of that is listening to him, being attentive to him, asking him questions. And that brings us to our passage that Louisa read for us. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. This passage is staggering. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit. And who has the Spirit? We do. We've received this gift that Jesus sent us. If you've trusted in Christ, been made new in the gospel, and received the Holy Spirit, That spirit knows the minds and thoughts of God, the mind and thoughts of God, and he dwells in our bodies. Look at verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is Paul reframing a rhetorical question, a daunting rhetorical question from Isaiah. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Who could possibly interact with him at that level? And Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can know the mind of the Lord. It's a staggering gift that's just waiting there in the pages of Scripture for us to take hold of and practice. There's so much more we could unpack. I like cut out so much of this teaching because I get so excited about, you know, just tracing this all throughout Scripture. We could talk more about it. If you have questions, you got suspicions, concerns about talking about the Spirit, reach out to me. I'd love to sit down and talk to you about that. But I want to spend the rest of our time talking about some of the practicalities of listening prayer, if this is something that you would like to engage in this over the next 21 days. First, listening in general is a skill. Not just listening prayer, but listening to anyone, anything is a skill. I didn't for a long time know that this was a skill, something to practice. You know, people often become pastors because they got a lot of things they want to say. And then you get into the ministry and you realize, like, it's really more about listening to God, to others. People just don't care that much about what you say, the way you think they will. Learn how to ask questions. Learn how to be really present when someone is talking rather than just, you know, waiting for my turn to talk. So my point is it takes time. It takes practice to learn how to be a good listener. It takes energy even. Frankly, listening is one of the most exhausting things to me. Like, I could talk for 8 hours straight, preach 8 hours straight versus like listening to someone for an hour, probably be a similar amount of energy drain. My point is to be patient and gracious with yourself. Nothing in our society teaches us to listen well. So this is new. This is a way of Jesus. This is something that God can cultivate, learning to hear God's voice. It's not necessarily hard, but it does take some intentionality, some practice. The metaphor that I think about way too often is Legoland over at Easton. I took my son there for his 5th birthday, and it's like this indoor Lego-themed amusement park, which was not what I expected. Johnny and I are in sweet Lego time. We just have some great time playing Legos, and I thought it was going to be this place where they have all these Legos to build, like pieces that you can't find in the stores and, you know, racetracks and all kinds of stuff where we go and we can just nerd out on building extravagant Legos. And so I was really disappointed that the first thing you see is this like roller coaster ride where you like shoot zombie Legos on a screen. And then there was like a virtual reality thing and there's like a spinny roller coaster. And then in the corner, there was this one little like racetrack Lego car building thing. And I'm like, Johnny, let's go build Legos. And what did my 5-year-old son say? Like, no, I want to go look at the screen. I want to shoot zombies and ride this thing. And there's even a movie theater with Lego themed movies. And my point is that the space of mind to get into a flow state in building Legos where you're attuned to it, where you're calm enough to find pieces, to see it come together, requires a cultivation of your attention. And like Legoland to me is kind of laughable that you would anybody would want to play Legos. It's pretty much only the dads playing Legos. The kids are running around doing whatever. When you have these other flashy, distracting dopamine bursts, listening prayer requires a stillness of soul, a quietness of mind and heart to be able to hear clearly. Think of it like a jug. I tried to find a video of this, like a time-lapse video, not on the internet, it let me down. Like a jug of river water that's all muddy. And then over time, what happens? All the gunk settles to the ground and the water, or to the bottom of the jar, and it becomes clear. That's kind of what the state of our soul, when we come into listening prayer, we're all jumbled and it's got all this murky things. And if we slow down, we can hear God. Listening prayer is joyful and life-giving, just like slow, focused Lego building is joyful and life-giving, but it's just like not the dopamine burst that scrolling on Facebook or, you know, the distraction from painful feelings that a Hallmark movie is. I'm not saying those things are a sin. I'm just saying it's different. That's kind of wiring yourself for a different experience. We can't listen well in a hurry. I think about when I'm working out in my basement. One of the ways that works is that my kids can be down there playing while I'm working out. I don't have to like go somewhere else. But I also do it where I try to, you know, get my heart rate really high, and so I'm like sucking wind and can barely breathe and no blood's going to my head and stuff. And when my daughter's like trying to talk to me, like, "Daddy, daddy, hey, daddy, daddy, can't talk right now." Because I'm can't breathe. I'm doing something else. I often think like that, if that's how our souls are like running at high beats per minute, and we're just like sucking air, then we're not gonna be able to hear things well. How patient are you when you can't breathe well, when you're sucking wind? So we need to quiet our souls, let our souls breathe to hear God's love. Think of it like a marriage. It, real practically, it's a relationship. If Camille and I have just been too focused passing the kids back and forth so we can get breaks, doing house projects, handling bills, and we realize we feel distant. It's not that someone did something wrong. See, we're distant. We just need space. And so that's really what it is. There's some different invitations to prayer here, but this is the one that I'm most excited about, the most passionate about. It's like the keystone invitation, the keystone rhythm of my life, which is to simply create space, actual concrete minutes, to sit with God and to listen to him. Say no to things, whether it's like TV shows at night so you can go to bed early and get up earlier, or whatever it is, to create space. And if you got a prayer plan on your way in, do you guys get prayer plans on the way in? A little half sheet, those get passed out? I see one nod. Couple, yeah. A few of them got passed out. This is the number one invitation on the prayer plan. That's just meant to be a resource there. For you to map out what you do over the next 21 days. And this is the number one invitation. It's the thing I'm most excited about us doing as a church family. It's to find a time and place where you can be completely alone with no technology in reach, no phone, no smartwatch, literally no way that you can distract yourself or be interrupted. And for 21 days, find this space, maybe a regular, it's easiest if it's a regular time and space every day. Not for the rest of your life, just for 21 days. And then to give minutes to God. And to be concrete, I would encourage you to actually set a timer. I got so nerdy as to order a bunch of timers. You might have saw them out there by the book wall. Don't use your phone. It maybe you guys are way more disciplined than me, but the phone is designed to distract you, to draw your mind to it, to make you think of things you need to order or people you need to message. Don't use your phone, and just be in a spot where you're truly alone with God. Grab one of these little timers and then pick a number of minutes and just set it and offer those minutes to God. Don't guilt yourself into that. It's not, you know, 6 hours or, you know, whatever, like John Wesley did. Don't think about how many. Just decide on an amount. If it's new to you, I'd encourage you to start with 3. Don't try to be a hero. Set a timer for 3 minutes. A timer is huge. It seems unspiritual, but I've been setting timers in my walk with God for forever because it frees you up to not think about time. Like, you've thought about it, you set it, and then you can just be present to those minutes. Give those minutes to God. You don't have to check the time. You don't have to worry if you're waiting too long. You don't have to try to, like, go longer to be extra spiritual. Just set those minutes apart and give them to God and see what he will say in them. There's some more details of how to do that in your prayer plan. Grab one on the way out if you didn't get one. But time is a huge thing when you trace the story of Scripture. It's the place where we meet God. You decide how long, and then you relax into God's presence. When I first started doing listening prayer, I found myself at the beginning feeling anxious, like I had to mine some nugget, some truth. I had to like make sense of it. And that's not what we're going for. Set a timer for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 12 minutes. I loved hearing the neuroscience and the announcement. 12 minutes is the number that I generally set on my little dumb watch when I am just sitting with God. But don't go that long. Just give God some time. And then take a deep breath and just rest into God's presence. You don't have to make anything happen. It's time for God to speak to you, whatever he will. Oftentimes, the first thing that pops into your head is the thing. Maybe it's a verse from Scripture, maybe it's a person, an image, maybe it's a phrase or just one word. Or sometimes it can even just be like a feeling, like a sense of something. Whatever it is, even if it seems unspiritual, I encourage you to jot it down in your journal and just be curious about it. Again, you don't have to make anything happen. Put this all on God, the God who made you and said he'll speak to you. Just journal it out. A couple examples that you might have heard me say before. These are very normal examples. These aren't like, oh, and then I got a word from God and changed my whole life. This is what I'm talking about in the details, the small things of life. The first one, real simple, it was a Sunday morning. I was doing some intentional listening prayer before the church gathering. And this particular Sunday morning, I was just real angsty, just feeling like restless and just kind of angsty. And maybe this is oversharing, but like there's the existential crisis of preachers. Like, why do I do this? Did anybody listen to me? Does this move the needle at all? Like, blah, 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 blah. All that kind of doubt and self-talk. And I said, God, what do you have to say to me about this Sunday? And I kind of went into it thinking, like, give me a word for them, right? Give me something that's going to pop and make things happen. And this particular moment, in all that angst, I got washed with this overwhelming wave of gratitude. Like, I can't believe this is my job. I can't believe that I get to do life with this church. I can't believe I get to stand up here and talk about the good news of the gospel and life with God. It was just a spirit-filled moment of him realigning me with the deeper reality, which is that all of life is a gift, and I actually love being a pastor, being your pastor, and being here, and love preaching, and all that stuff. Was that for me? Again, this is like hard shift in like the emotional climate of my soul. So it could be something as simple as that. I felt God seeing me in that angstiness and rantiness and just kind of being my father, taking care of me, reframing my emotional state. Other times, it might be something that comes to mind that seems unspiritual and requires some follow-up. I just want to be practical here. I think I've used this one in a sermon before, but I was like, God, what do you have to say to me about this Sunday? And what immediately came to mind was my coffee cup sitting on the table next to my chair. And I was just thinking, I was just like, was kind of in awe of, it was a weird level of reverence for this coffee cup. Just like how amazing it is that I have a cup that can hold fluid and how hard it'd be to drink coffee out of my hands and just the extravagance of having something warm to hold when it's cold, all this stuff. I'm like, God, you know, and my initial thought, this is distracting. I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to think of something like, you know, important and biblical that I could pass on. Why are you bringing up a coffee cup, God? And that's a great question. If something comes to mind that doesn't make sense immediately, ask God, again, put it on God. Why am I thinking about this? And what I sense is, well, what are you talking about in your sermon? What's heavy on your heart for your church this morning? And what came to mind was overflowing lives with stuff that doesn't leave room for God. Lives that are overflowing like an overfull cup that can't receive the good news of life with God. And so I don't know how it landed, if you remember that sermon or whatever, but it was just, I felt seen and loved by God. He drew my mind to the coffee cup, something concrete. I used it in the sermon, take it or leave it, which just feels good. It feels good to say something that God has given you to say. So those are two very small examples. Hopefully that's unimpressive. Hopefully that sets the bar low to where it feels like, oh yeah, this is something that we can all do as we live by the Spirit. But this idea of listening prayer, of just slowing myself down, of listening, I couldn't function without it. I don't know if I'd still be a pastor, if I'd still be married, if it wasn't something that rooted and grounded me in God's love for me, his providence for me, and just his story, his priorities for my life. Now we have a special treat. Carol Kern's going to come up and share a little testimony about how she has heard the voice of God. Come on up, Carol. Put your hands together for Carol.
Good morning. When I was a young child, young, really young, I began asking God to speak to me. I was born into, thank you, God, to a family that loved God and taught God, and God was real. So I ask a very arrogant question. God, I want to speak to you like you talk to Moses, not face to face, but voice to voice. As a child, you'll ask for anything, won't you? But that desire continued as I grew. It was a real desire. The teaching that I received in Sunday school and church was, you read the scripture. You talk to other Christians. You look for examples in the scripture that might be similar to this. Those are good answers, but not what I wanted. I wanted to really talk friend to friend. Well, the first time that I actually heard the voice of God was several years ago in a desperate, pleading prayer for information and guidance. The answer I received was not what I wanted, but it was perfect, in keeping with the very essence of God. From a disciplining voice, I heard, "Carol, just love them." I was astounded that what I had been hoping for since childhood actually happened. I trembled. And since that first experience of hearing his voice, my trust in God's speaking became exponential. But I don't need to hear his voice anymore. I hear him in many ways. The latest time he audibly spoke was in my sleep. The cause was a baby shower for my first great-grandchild in San Antonio, Texas. I love to drive, so my plan was I would get the family bassinet, put it in the car, and drive. Well, it was simple. I mean, you know, the first 2 days you drive to Tulsa, that's a route that I know well. Go visit the church that I grew up in, which I haven't seen for 60 years. Then visit friends in Denton, Texas, and then go on to San Antonio. Made sense to me. Good plan. It was a great opportunity to travel. The children were not so sure about that plan and pointed out to me that I was 84 years old, that I was a single woman driving alone, and perhaps a good target for mischief. And that 4 days of driving alone would be very tiring. Good points, but ineffective. One night in my sleep, I very clearly heard the voice ask, "Carol, are you sure you want to drive to Texas?" I immediately woke up knowing that it was the Spirit. And if he's asking, I understood that I need to really think about that and probably make a change. So I shipped the bassinet and made a plane reservation. I don't need to hear God's voice. We talk every day, casually, throughout the day. He brings thoughts to my mind that I need to remember, or that I need to do, or I am totally blessed with the way he takes care of me. God is always right. No matter how he speaks, we just need to listen and trust.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. I love, she told me that story on a visit a month ago, and I love any story where we see God speaking to the details of our lives. On still? It sounds funny. Are we good? Yes? Yeah. It's an example of feeling seen and loved by God in the details of our lives. This idea of being seen by God, I just want to give a brief moment to acknowledge that being seen by God might be scary to some of us. Might not seem like good news, which is one reason I think why we might be slow to do listening prayer, why it might be easier to pray for, you know, Christians over there or some big abstract cause or my coworker's son or, you know, keep our prayers far, far away from our hearts. It's because our perception of God's feeling towards us, his posture towards us, is going to affect the way that we listen to him. For example, if you think that God loves you theologically because he has to because of the cross, but deep down you wonder, does he really like me? Delight in me? Does he really care about my life? He's got bigger things to do. Who cares about me? And many of us grew up not thinking that we were worthy of attention, that our thoughts, opinions, our desires, our needs were just something to repress and squash down. How might that influence the way we relate to God? Listening prayer is a practice that requires us to grab hold of God's, the truth of God's written word when it says that he is a compassionate father who knows our frame, knows what we're made of, remembers that we're dust, that he sings songs of delight over us, that we are his prized possessions, his workmanship, his masterpieces. These are all verses that many of you may already know, but have listening prayers, how those verses start to sink into our souls, into the details. Listening prayer is the life application to the tidal wave of God's tender, steadfast, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love for you in Christ Jesus. So that's the prayer. We're going to do some listening prayer. You guys ready? Ready or not, here it comes. We're going to try out this new timer, this green timer. I'm going to set a timer here. It was loud. For 2 minutes. And we're just going to invite the Spirit to come and speak to us. Get comfortable. Get the wiggles out. Get comfortable. And we're just going to give God time to speak. And I encourage you to jot down anything that comes to mind, even if it doesn't make sense. And then I'll close this in prayer. And I'd encourage you to come talk to me or talk to a friend afterwards if you hear something. Share what God has put on your heart. Here we go. Let's listen to God. I'll open us in prayer as well. Father, we welcome your Spirit here. Thank you that you love us, that you gave us your Spirit. Will you speak now? We are listening. Good job. You made it. Let me pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that you are a God who didn't set the world in motion and then leave it. Thank you that you're intimately involved. All our days were written in your book before we lived any of them. Father, as we embark on 21 days of listening prayer, would you draw us into rest in your presence? Would you allow the silt of our lives to settle down and clear out so that we could see and hear you clearly? Father, I just pray that you would show us your love in ways that we've never experienced before. That you would speak to us and heal us, comfort us, guide and direct us, give us peace like we've never experienced before as we just offer up minutes every day to you, to listen to you, to receive from you. I pray for my brothers and sisters here who haven't done this before, who's new. Pray for those of us who experience silence as something uncomfortable and scary. Father, would you have mercy on us? Give us courage to enter into the silence, to feel what comes up, good, bad, and ugly. And I pray, Father, that we would come out of these 21 days just more deeply rooted and grounded in your love, more confident for this year of the relaunch, more joyful at what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in the world. Bring yourself glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.